Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Big Show, Summer of Fun edition. I'm Jeff Gamet. I'm your interim host, sitting in for Ewan Rankin. And with me today, amazingly wonderful people. Patrice, how are you?
Squirrel.
Squirrel.
No, I'm good. I'm good. It's just no,
So
I'm
when
good.
you're not chasing shinies and sparkledies and squirrels,
yes.
you're fine.
No, I'm okay. I think that's the best I can say. It's been a weird week. Including today, where we talked about a little bit in the pre-show, the Taylor Swift concerts here in Vienna were canceled because of potential terror attacks. Like, some people got arrested and some tips from US red letter agencies were apparently handed over to or sent to Europol and then sent to the Viennese or Austrian police, secret police here, whatever their title is. I always forget. Also, a three letter. I remember it's DSN. It's a three lettered agency as well.
All the three letter agencies.
Yes. So, yeah, bad day. Three concerts, three massive Taylor Swift concerts not really far from here. All got canceled. Would have happened actually probably as we speak right now. So the first one. So yeah, sad day for Taylor Swift fans, for Swifties, but yeah.
But at
Better that way,
least
I think.
the people that were going to commit whatever acts they were, those people had been arrested.
As far as we know, yeah.
As far as we know.
As far as you know, some people have been arrested for that, and I think they even, yeah, already, like, confessed. So I guess,
oh well,
yeah, 19. I think one of the guys was 19 or something like that. So quite young.
and that's really young to
That's
be
sad.
making that poor of a life
Yes.
choice,
Yeah,
because
and it,
that will impact them forever.
Yes, and despite like the preconceptions of racism that sometimes happens, he was Austrian, so not a foreigner.
Yes, he really didn't like Taylor Swift.
He just didn't like I mean, that is actually very Austrian. He did like people having fun.
Oh,
No, I shouldn't be kidding about
man.
it. I shouldn't make jokes about it. It's sad as it is. So yeah, but in better news, as I said, everybody seems to be safe, and that's the most important thing. Yeah,
Yes.
but I mean, it's sad for a lot of people. Like, I mean, people traveled from all over Europe to Vienna. They had like hotels booked and train tickets and all of that. In a very interesting twist, so there's like a couple like bigger train companies here. So there's let's say the federal train company, or formerly federal train company, ÖBB in Austria. But there's also like a smaller privately owned company that I really like because they're really good service and they're actually not that expensive. But they're not the big company, so some Austrians don't like them. But when it came to refunding tickets, the big Austrian company was like, "Oh, we can refund the tickets because we don't know who would have gone to the concert." And the Westbahn, like they basically said, "Yeah, we're just refunding them. Just send us an email, we'll refund them." They're like, "Whatever, like, don't care. Like, it's
Those
good customer service."
decisions don't have to be that hard, you know? Okay,
No,
I'll
exactly.
refund,
It's
right? How
like, just
hard would
do
that
it.
be?
Like,
Right.
if someone abuses it, like who cares? Like, it's
Right.
not gonna matter that much. The trains
Yeah.
are freaking full anyway. If two or three people extra that weren't going to the concert but just take advantage of being able to cancel, do that. Like, is it gonna hurt you? No.
Yeah, either way, they're still not getting on the train because they don't
Well,
have a
that's
ticket
true.
anymore.
Yeah, exactly. No, it's just ridiculous. But that kind of sums up the approach to things. Like, sure, technically they did not have to refund the tickets, but
But
it's just a nice thing to do. So why?
Yes.
Yeah. So there's that. That was a little bit of, okay, this is typical, like typical Austria.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is that. I think overall it still was a good thing for the city. That there's probably a lot of tourists. I think the hotels were 99% booked or something.
Of
So
course they were.
Yeah, I mean that makes sense.
Yeah.
Like as I said, there's like I mean I had like a friend of mine. She texted me. She's like, "Hey, I'm trying to like get some last minute kind of Taylor Swift tickets in for Vienna. Like, so if I get some, will you join me and can I stay with you?" And I'm like, "Yes and yes." So
Simple as
didn't
that.
happen. Of course, it didn't happen. We didn't manage. But there were people literally from all over Europe coming to Vienna.
Well, I'm glad everyone is safe.
Yeah, me too. That's the most important thing.
Speaking of putting on a great concert, Tom, how are you?
Can
Yeah,
totally see Tom rocking
I taught Bill Graham everything he knew.
And it shows.
I can totally see you like long, like flowing hair, like headbanging, like all of that. I can totally see that.
It's a little bit hard to imagine me, but yes, I did have hair at
Electric
one point.
ukulele.
Yes,
Yeah,
exactly. I can totally see that.
I could never figure out why nobody wanted me to join their band with my cymbals. You know, I thought that was good for performance.
It is good.
So I've been spending my time watching a little bit of Olympics. When I go to the gym, you know, they have little TVs on the cardio equipment. And it reminds me every 4 years of the sports that are kind of fun for me to watch and other sports which I can't figure out. And especially when I'm at the gym because I'm not listening, I'm just watching. And so some tips, mountain climbing in the Olympics is really boring to watch. Because it's
I
just
can
a
totally see
wall with a
that.
bunch of shapes.
Yeah,
I
oh, it
guess
is.
if
I can
you're
see.
really into rock climbing, it would be great. Water polo's pretty slow. It's a bunch of guys swimming and they hold up the ball in front of the goal and they're trying to fake the guy out. So all they do is wave their arms around with the ball. It's really boring. Track. I love the sprints on track. You know, it's pretty basic. You run down, the
Yeah, and they're
fastest one
over pretty
wins,
quickly.
and they're over in
Like a
10
couple
seconds.
seconds, done.
Yeah, 10 seconds. The bicycle races have gotten so intensely high tech. It is really, it's fun to watch, but it's like watching Blade Runner or something, you know, or you know, it's not people on bikes, they're on these very weird machines. I mean, it's fun to watch.
So, like watching the light cycles in Tron.
Oh yes.
Right.
Yes. Yeah,
Tron's a better example. That's what I was
I can
thinking of,
tell you
Tron.
for me, the more interesting thing, like I did not care about the Olympics. I'm sorry, I don't care about any kind of sports. So not my thing. But what was really interesting was all the athletes posting stuff on Instagram.
Oh, they're crazy.
Like
They're wild with
about the
that.
bets and like all kinds of cool and heartwarming and also sometimes really funny stories. Like apparently I think the Austrian like the Austrian trainers or the Austrian organizers had already bought like pre-ordered and bought like toppers for the bets because they were terrible and then they kind of suspected that, so they already basically bought them.
Smart.
Yeah,
Wow.
they were smart. Stuff like that. Like the bets are kind of paper things with like some stuff on top,
Yeah, they
kind of
look really
temporary.
bad. They look really
They look
bad.
really bad. They were, but people were. I mean, they look fine. Like if you could, if you can, like for the couple of weeks when this is going on, if you sleep well on them, and then afterwards they get trashed, I'm like, who cares? But the looks are not super important. But they were also terrible to sleep on, apparently.
I think this is the first Olympics where the social media effect has really taken hold. I mean, it's just crazy the volume of stuff and how many viral things have come out.
But there were some really, really cool things. Like I saw like one like ath like there were some athletes that met their kind of their favorite other athletes that they had
Right.
admired for
Yeah,
like
that's fun.
years, and now they get to meet them and they get
Yeah.
like really emotional about it because they were kind of their heroes. And like, and then someone noted like the other, they don't know it, but then they notice it like on often they follow on Instagram and stuff like that. So there's really some really cool stories, especially amongst the women, what I've seen.
Well,
So
and in the
that was more
US,
interesting for me.
on TV, they hired Snoop Dogg to be one of the
Oh
commentators.
yeah, I saw that.
Who
I
would
was
have
like,
thought
that
Snoop
was
Dogg is the American spokesperson we actually need.
I know, he's
Yes.
the best, man. He is the
He did
best.
like some horse racing stuff like recent like a couple of days ago. That was hilarious with him.
He is so
It's just
funny.
himself, and it's just funny.
I would, if I was in charge, I would nominate Snoop Dogg for the savviest business person in the US. He's everywhere.
Oh yeah, no, Hunter, yes, I'm with you. Yeah, and I mean him and Oprah
Oprah's in a league by
probably,
herself, but
but yeah, no, but
I
it's
will
like it's
nominate
so good.
Sesame Street as the most business savvy organization for their coverage of the Olympics. I mean, who would have thought sending Sesame Street, all these Muppets, to the Olympics was going to be a huge thing? Like Olympic gold medalist freaking out because they get to meet Elmo, and they're showing all this on, like on TV, and
Brilliant, yeah.
Oh, as I
Absolutely
said, that
brilliant.
like, I mean, despite all the other issues in France and like everything that happened around it, I'm like, that's for me the fun part. So
I just feel
that's
bad for the swimmers who have to swim in the Seine.
saying, yeah.
Yikes.
Yeah.
What
I mean,
were they
especially now
thinking?
that we know about the shark in the river.
No, what were they thinking?
So hey, I mentioned it's summer of fun, and I do like to point out that this is Patrice's brilliant idea that another podcast network that doesn't follow linear time was able to grab and then go back in time and start doing this before Patrice actually had the idea. And if you follow temporal mechanics and nonlinear time, what I just said completely makes sense. And you're like, yep, been there, done that. Yep.
Yeah, but Jeff, you're forgetting no monkey can understand that. Because we all live, we all think still think time is linear.
Yeah, and that's on us. Yep. So the idea is that in the summer we still want to do shows because we enjoy just spending all this time together and with you. But instead of trying to dig up news stories in what is typically a slow news window,
Yeah, scraping a news story from the very, very, very bottom of the barrel.
right? Yeah. So
But
we're just
isn't
picking
that what we always
topics.
do?
No, usually no.
Or
Usually
no,
it's
we go
there's
right for
always
the middle.
something.
We go
Yeah, we
right
go
for the
right for the
middle.
middle. Not the top because that's too much, but like the middle. The
Right. Yeah,
murky
because if
middle.
it's the top, we might actually have to do some research and
Nah.
understand what we're talking about, and we can't have that. Yeah.
Not allowed.
So we pick other topics. And today we're going to talk about movies that we like to rewatch. And
Yes.
we could go forever on this one, I'm betting.
Oh yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, rewatching in general is a big topic, as Jeff and I know very well.
It's such a big topic that it's worth having a podcast for.
Yeah.
So by
Or
the way,
forum, maybe.
Stargate is off limits for today, right?
It's not the movie. Well, actually, if it's the Stargate movie, you
Oh,
can
okay.
like
We could do the
feel
movie
free.
if you wanted to.
You can do
And
the movie, but it's movies today, so
it's
not TV
movies
show.
today. But even if it was TV shows, technically, I can't choose Stargate SG-1 because I'm in the process of
Oh,
watching
you
it
haven't.
for the
Yeah.
first time.
That's true. There
You're
are some
not rewatching, you're watching.
Stargate SG-1 movies that I thought about the original movie. So yeah, who wants to go first? I mean, I could do one like very related because we talked about just like Taylor Swift and so on.
Yeah, do it.
It's a, I mean, movie. I don't know if that counts as a movie, but there is a recording of the like an official like released recording of Hans Zimmer's like a couple of years ago concert in Prague, probably pre-pandemic. Thinking of it, it's probably pre-pandemic at this point. So 50 years ago, Hans Zimmer Live. And it's a huge orchestra and him playing, I don't know how many different instruments throughout the show. And I watch it, I wouldn't say on average every 2 months, probably. I just recently watched it again on my Vision Pro because that is actually a completely different experience,
Oh, I
watching a
bet.
concert like that. Even though it's still a movie, it's still 2D in all of it, it's not fully immersive, but it's just something about that concert because, I mean, it's like Hans Zimmer. I hope people know who he is. If not, he's basically done almost every like the music or the soundtrack to almost every movie that you recognize, like Pirates of the Caribbean, Gladiator, the Dark Knight trilogy. He's done Wonder Woman, Dune. Like he's done, I mean, there's like 200 or something, 150, 200, something like that, movies at this point. And he's constantly churning out more. And he's done games and he's done TV shows and like other stuff that, just for fun, just because he can. And he's, I think, German and Scottish or something like that, if I remember correctly.
Is the movie just the concert, or does it have some
It's
documentary
literally
stuff?
just a concert. It's literally just a concert. It's literally him, the concert in Prague, and the big orchestra. And there's a lot of like big names in the in like in his in the orchestra. So he has like a choir that's from Prague, that's one of the locals. But other than that, I mean, he has like from sometimes really big like bands and big like names sometimes that come to play with him on stage. And it's really, I mean, he does like what's the name? Blanking on it. The Lion King, for example, also one like very memorable. I think if you tell people Lion King and music, they know exactly what I'm talking about. Like his stuff is just very, very good, very, very memorable. Everything's different. Inception. I could keep going. Like he's just done everything that I love. I love his stuff.
What
And this
kind
concert is just
of
very good.
venue was it? Was it indoor or outdoor?
It was outdoor, so
Oh,
like
wow.
full on outdoor, big stage, light show, everything you could imagine. And then he's really good at also like making, like, it's not just about the music. He's like how he like it's not also not just he's not they're not just playing the music. He like rewrote stuff, morphed one song into the next one, like wrote it for the people who are actually on stage so that it also like everybody is involved. And it's the song you know but reinterpreted for the people who are playing it there. So he did one of his, in this like movie, he did like a special song for Aurora, or that was right after the Aurora shooting. And he had written basically overnight like a really nice song to commemorate, to like in memory of the people who died there and stuff like that. So he's just a really good person, really good composer. He just enjoys, you can tell he's like really, and I think that's something, now he's doing that all the time. He's doing concerts. He never did concerts before. But he realized that he really enjoys doing that. You can tell, like, he's just having fun on stage. Also talking sometimes a little bit too much, but I mean, he recognizes that. But he's like, no, but you can really tell he's really having fun with the people on stage, and he really wants to highlight them. Like, it's not about him, despite his name being on the poster and everything. It's really about the people he is playing with, and he has sometimes 30, 40-year relationships with. So in like different bands that he's played with them and so on. So he's like, he doesn't have to do any of that because, I mean, he's making probably, I mean, he's probably made all the money he needs, and he's making more even more money. He's just doing it because he enjoys doing it. And you can tell, it's really, as I said, it's set movie in the widest sense probably, because it's not a fictional thing. So, but it's also not a documentary or anything like that. It's just a concert video, basically. Concert movie. But it's like 2 hours, 2:15, something like that. So
You
it's a
should
full
post a
thing.
link. There seems to be a
I'll
few
try
of
to
them on
find it.
YouTube. Of the ones that
Yeah.
you like.
No, I'll post the link to the official thing. Not
Okay.
YouTube. You could find it somewhere else, but I think you can still buy it on. I think you can still buy it on iTunes if I remember. I'll find it and put the link in the chat. Give me a second.
All right. Well, while you're hunting for that, my first movie is Shaun of the Dead. And this is actually one of those things where trying to decide what should I start with was difficult
It was,
because there's
yes.
so many movies that I love watching over and over. And actually picking one out of the Cornetto trilogy was very difficult because I could have just as easily gone with Hot Fuzz or World's End, but I mean there's just something about the love story in Shaun of the Dead that's just fantastic. And Simon Pegg, Edgar Wright, Nick Frost, that when they teamed up to do these three movies, it's a masterpiece trilogy. But for those of you that don't know, and I will not judge anyone for not having seen this because I hadn't watched any of Stargate SG-1 until just recently. Shaun of the Dead, Simon Pegg plays this guy who has kind of a nowhere life with a nowhere job, and his girlfriend isn't happy with him. His best friend is just a complete slacker, and so it's just like this guy with this mundane blah life, and then a zombie apocalypse happens. And he has to deal with all this. And the thing is, the zombie apocalypse happens, and it's happening around him, and he's not realizing that it's happening at first because his life is so mundane
That's interesting.
he's seeing the same people day after day, and some of
All right,
them,
what's different? Yeah.
when they're zombies, they're not that much different from when they weren't zombies. And but then when he finally realizes what's really going on, and him and his slacker friend have to figure out what they're going to do, you end up with just this wonderful story of people who are absolutely not prepared in any way to deal with an onslaught of zombies, having to figure out how to deal with this. And it's just it is such a fun movie. And I mentioned it's part of the Cornetto trilogy, and this is one of those things that a lot of people that have seen the movies don't even realize. Excuse me, Cornetto is like an ice cream treat that you buy
Yes.
in stores. It's not available in the United States, so this is a like
Oh, I didn't know that.
UK and EU
Interesting.
thing.
Yeah, I've
Yeah,
never heard of
definitely
it.
here it's everywhere. Cornetto, like I remember as a kid getting a Cornetto all the time.
And so, Tom, for US audiences, think of like, and I had to research this because I have a dairy allergy. It's like a drumstick, so
Yeah.
it's like sort of like an ice cream cone with the ice cream in it, and then like a coating on it, sort of thing. And so you get different flavors. And so it's like a prepackaged ice cream cone,
Yeah, it's just a
essentially.
prepackaged
All
ice
right.
cream cone,
Yeah.
different flavors. Okay,
Yeah, we
I
have
mean
drumsticks.
there is
Yeah.
other ice cream cones in Germany. There's one that has a very dirty name. It's like it's called Flutschi Finger, like the whatever. How would you translate that? It's like a slippery finger. One could say. So I'm like, yeah, who named this?
All right. So in the movies, each movie, someone has a specific flavor of Cornetto.
Oh, that's
And
funny.
so Yeah, so it's the Cornetto trilogy because of that. That's
Interesting. I
funny.
mean,
Even though
Simon
that's a
Pegg,
funny story.
the only reason I've never watched it is I do not like scary movies. I don't like zombie movies. Like, it's the only reason, because Simon Pegg alone would be like, I don't even like Simon Pegg could be reading like the phone book and I would watch him, because just I just like him.
Give it a shot,
Nah.
because
Nah.
it's, I mean, yes, it's a zombie movie, but at the same time, it's a love story, and there happen to be zombies around at the same
Yeah,
time.
I would rather watch Hot Fuzz 10,000 times than
All
watch
right, that's
zombies.
fair,
So.
because Hot Fuzz is just absolutely wonderful.
Yes,
And
another Simon Pegg movie. So.
for those of you that are into Simon Pegg movies, yerp, derp. Anyhow, so that's my first pick, Shaun of the Dead.
Shaun of the Dead. Yeah, my uncle was a massive fan of that movie. I said I've probably have seen scenes out of it. That just not my thing.
Well, I
But
enjoyed
I
it
know
enough
it is
for
an
both of
excellent
us.
movie. Yeah, I have, it is an excellent movie. I know that. I know, like, without having watched it, I've heard so much about it. So Tom, what's yours?
Okay, my first.
How come I'm not surprised?
My pick is Dazed and Confused. It's from 1993. It's a Richard Linklater movie. I think one of his first big movies. And
I think so, yeah.
it's basically about a small town in Texas. I think outside Austin is where it's set. And it's basically 1976 at the end of the school year, and it has to do with the kids that are in eighth grade that are going to be going to high school, and the kids who are juniors in high school that are going to become seniors the next year. And it's basically a bunch of punky kids doing punky stuff. But it's basically a documentary of my life as a high school student. It is very close to what I lived through. It captures the era really well.
Yeah,
You know,
it has some really,
1976.
yeah,
76 was
some
the bicentennial year, and they kind of got into that. And the list of the cast is just amazing. It's all these
Yeah,
people
I was just looking at it. I'm like,
that.
I'm in a young Matthew McConaughey, Mila Jovovich, from Fifth
Very
Element, Adam
young, she was all
Goldberg. Yeah,
right.
there's like Anthony Rapp, there you might know from Star Trek, for example.
Ben
There's like
Affleck.
really good. Oh, I didn't even see that. Nice.
I think it was one of his first movies. And what's the woman's name? Parker Posey's in it.
Michelle
Anyway,
Burke.
I didn't realize, yeah, how many names are in this. Yeah, they
I
did a
remember
really good
very,
job of
very early in
casting.
the career as well. Like,
I think for a lot of them, it's their first movie, first,
major
real
movie.
part, as opposed to being an extra or something. One of the downsides is one of the main characters, the kid who plays Mitch, was a really bad actor. So that's very
I mean, kids, you
distracting.
never know.
Yeah, and he didn't have any career after this. Seemed like a nice guy, but he was just not a very good actor. Anyway, it's Americana, high school kids drinking beer, getting in trouble, smoking dope. One of the things I liked about it was it kind of dealt with the cliques, the jocks and the stoners and the cheerleaders and the brains. It was a good example of how all those groups sort of were and where they intersected at times. It was for me, that was fun. And of course, I love the soundtrack. That was the soundtrack to my life at that time.
Yeah,
Yeah, I definitely get that.
it's a really good movie. And yeah, good pick. And Tom, seriously, on one level, I was not surprised at all that you're like dazed and confused.
And you know, it was one of
Yes.
those movies that apparently did horribly at the box office. I think it actually lost money based on the box office, so it became kind of a VHS blockbuster video phenomenon. And it got extremely popular after that. But you know, in the theaters, I guess it just did really bad.
Yeah, but it's sometimes that is that way. Like it just the theaters, like people have to explicitly go there and pay for it and all of that. And so it's sometimes harder to get to the like to you to find your audience, and people get turned off by
Yeah.
smallest things. But then like later on when it's basically available and easily accessible, people actually realize, hey, this is actually quite fun.
Well, I wonder if a lot of people were expecting this to be like another American Graffiti.
That's
Could
kind of what Linklater called it was. It was American Graffiti for kids of the 70s.
be. And if you were a big fan of American Graffiti and you had that 50s nostalgia thing going on, and then you go and see Dazed to Confused, where it's a completely different culture, then I could see where you could go in and be like, well, this isn't my nostalgia movie. And no, it's not. It's for the next generation, their nostalgia.
And you know, by that time we were in our 30s when this movie came out. But you're right, it's a good compare to American Graffiti. It's very, very similar field.
All right,
Very
Patrice.
good. Should I go with the next one? So I was really thinking there's so many. Like which one should I pick? Because as you said, I could easily come up with many. I went with Now You See Me. 2013 movie. It's like Jesse Eisenberg, Mark Ruffalo, like quite some big names. Woody Harrelson again is in there, Morgan Freeman, Dave Franco, Isla Fisher, Common is in there, like Michael Caine, like big names, Michael Kelly. Like I could just keep going. There's like all the big actors. It's just a really fun ride. I mean, it's kind of the whole magic show. I think it was around the time when magic shows were quite a big thing. And it's like it's just a fun ride to see. I mean, you get to peek behind the scenes, like how they did things. I mean, the whole story of like it's basically this group of four magicians from like different specialties, different directions coming together to perform like a really big, massive global act and really in reality kind of do some good in the world by doing that. They're not doing it to make money, not only maybe. They're really trying to right a wrong that was done like a long time ago. And there's a lot of really interesting twists that I mean, some of you could expect because you're like, okay, this is a magic thing, so like something is going on. But there's also some twists you didn't predict, and it's really fun. And as I said, a good cast with kind of the like it's Morgan Freeman is basically the, I don't want to call him the bad guy, but the antagonist kind of the group. Because he's trying to debunk everything they're doing and kind of like trip them up and all of that. And it's just really fun, like 2 hours or whatever it is. It's not very deep.
No, it's not.
It's magic.
It's a fun movie. And like you said, it's
It's,
got a great cast.
yeah.
My favorite part of the movie, and this is not bagging on the movie in any way, but my favorite part of the movie, one of my nieces, when the movie came out, she really, really wanted to go see it. And so she calls me, Uncle Jeffy, will you please take me to the movie because no one else will go? And I'm like, okay, let's go see the movie. And the best part of the movie for me was sitting there in the theater with my niece and looking over and seeing how excited she was and how much fun she was having watching the movie. And yeah, so that's my favorite memory of this movie.
Absolutely. I would be totally with you on that one. Like, yeah, as I said, it's just well produced. There was a second one that was fun too. Now You See Me Too, because they were not very creative with the naming. It was good. It wasn't the same because it's hard to follow up on like something like this. But it
It
was
is.
good. It was just very different because it's different story.
Yeah, I did not see the sequel movie, and
If you get to see it, it's fun. Like it's
okay.
just different because I mean it's you know now like what this kind of what is this about like and what is the movie about. And it's just the first is always special and different. But they actually did like I actually really liked the second one almost better than the first one, because the as much as I like Morgan Freeman, it kind of didn't feel like a big antagonist and kind of more like a side character. In the second movie, there is, and I'm blanking on his name now, the Harry Potter actor. What's his name?
Which character?
Daniel Radcliffe.
Oh.
Main character. Daniel
Oh, the so
Radcliffe
the
plays
actual
kind of
Harry Potter.
the actual Harry Potter. Yeah. Like he kind of plays the antagonist, the bad guy, but on the same level. Like he is basically on their level and it's like he has like almost unlimited funds and like he knows magic and he knows the right people and whatever. And he's really on their level, and it's also fun. So the rating is worse for some reason, but IMDb sometimes. But
Sure.
actually, almost like I like both of them for very different reasons, I think. It's more
Yeah,
fun,
I've
actually,
never
the
seen.
second one, more fun, but the first one is
Really?
special because it's the first.
Yeah, I've never seen the second one either.
Yeah, it's probably somewhere on streaming if you check. I
I'm
mean,
sure
this
it
is
is.
2016, so I mean, this it's been out for long enough that it's either on Netflix or Amazon or something.
All right,
Let's see.
so
Now You See Me.
I'm now torn on what to choose for my next movie. Something
It's on
more
Max, by the
intimate.
way. I just
Oh,
checked. It's
okay.
on.
I have that.
It's on Max. Now You See Me Too is probably also on Max if the first one is on Max. Yes.
Oh man, see, I'm torn. Do I go intellectual? Do I go silly
Let's go
fun?
intellectual. Let's go intellectual.
Intellectual?
Since I did fun, let's do intellectual.
Okay, intellectual it is. My pick is Rosencrantz and Guildenstern Are Dead. So
Wow.
it's
You
yes,
went all the
you're
way
like, okay, did not
intellectual.
expect we were going there.
Nope.
Okay, so Tom Stoppard, he's a playwright. And he wrote Rosencrantz and Guildenstern Are Dead as a stage play, and then it ended up being turned into a movie, and he got to direct the movie version of his stage play, and it stars Gary Oldman, Tim Roth, and Richard Dreyfuss. And the premise of the story is that there's these two minor characters in Hamlet, Rosencrantz and Guildenstern, and they ultimately get thrown under the bus in Hamlet,
Hence
so
the title.
hence the title. Yes, and so the story here is, what is the whole thing from their perspective? So you're watching Hamlet from the perspective of Rosencrantz and Guildenstern, and all they have to go by is the information that's available to them in the play. And so they're essentially trying to figure out what is the purpose of our existence through the lens of why has Hamlet called us here. And Richard Dreyfuss, he plays he's an artist. He's a performing artist, and so they interact with him at some point, and he, in a very obtuse way, essentially explains to them what their role is, but you don't really realize that. But anyhow, so it's this just really great movie. Lots of philosophical discussion and debate presented under the guise of humor. And as soon as their side life intersects with the actual play Hamlet, it's like flipping a light switch, and now it's just straight up Hamlet. And then when the Hamlet story moves on and they're not in that part, then they're back to their whole existential crisis. And it
The script is really good. I haven't thought about that movie in a long, long time.
Well, you
I
should
think that
watch
would
it
be a
more.
good one to rewatch.
It's great. And Gary Oldman and Tim Roth are fantastic. I mean,
I love the two of
they're
them.
both really young in this.
Right.
And holy crap. They should have been teamed up over and over and over after this because they play together so well. And it is just an absolute delight to watch. And yeah, there you go. So that's my intellectual pick. And
Raising the bar for the show.
raising the bar for the show, doing my best to reach up to the bar that is TSO host, because I mean they do set the bar. They're fantastic for web hosting, fantastic for helping you buy domain names. If you need support, they're fantastic for that, and they offer really good pricing. And what they're doing is taking the things that they do so well, and they're saying, "Hey, British Tech Network, we really like what you're doing. We want to help you do that." So they're taking their resources and they're saying, "Here you go. Here's the bandwidth you need to live stream shows every week. And here's the web hosting space you need so you have a place for the website. And here's the server space you need so that all of the show recordings are available for everyone who watches or listens later." And it's great because the generosity that they're showing us means we can actually be here and do what we're doing. Without TSO host support, we would not be able to have all the resources that it takes to actually do shows like this every single week. So we really, really appreciate TSO host. And seriously, thank you, TSO host, for being here and supporting the British Tech Network. All right. Now, I would love it if all of you would give TSO host a shout out as well. So please, please go out on your favorite social media and just thank TSO host for being here and supporting the British Tech Network. Super easy to do, only takes a minute, and it's a really great way to let them know that their generosity is appreciated by all of us. So please go do that,
Absolutely.
and thank you again, TSO host. They are, because you're part of the BTN family, offering you a special deal too. If you have domain names you want to buy, go use TSO host for that. They make it easy to do. Throw those domain names in your cart. If you need ho web hosting, throw that in there too. But then also throw in the discount code BTN20 so that you get 20% off your orders. They're taking what's already really nice pricing and making it even better for you, just because you're part of the BTN family. So thank you again, TSO hosts. And Patrice, just to mix up who's talking a little bit, would you mind telling people about the live chat, especially since you were instrumental in modernizing the whole system?
Mix up meat. You basically mean basically so that I talk even more than I usually talk. That's what you're saying, because I talk way too much.
Well, you have a great voice, so it's
Yeah.
just
Yeah.
another
Thank you.
opportunity for us to get to hear that.
See. Oh, yeah, directions. They're still working.
Hey, works.
They're working. Yeah, we have a really cool live chat. If you head over to britishtechnetwork.com, no, to live.britishtechnetwork.com, that's where our live stream thing is. Our live stream page. Oh, it's called Owncast, the tool behind it, just FYI. It's a Fediverse open source tool. So thank you to all the people who are working on that because it's really great. And there's like the usual thing you know from YouTube, from Twitch, from like many other sites. You have a video of live streaming and you have the chat right next to it. And there's no registration required. Just go in there, start typing. If you want, you can click on the little purple like thing on the top and then register or change your name or register. Like you can even auth with your Fediverse account, like I did with your Mastodon, with your PixelFed, with like any of the others. And then it will actually show a little like icon next to your name saying you are actually identified now because now we know who you are. As creepy as it sounds, so that is really cool because it like it shows you, hey, this is the person, this is the actual person of the account behind it. So, but you don't have to. You can just go in there and start typing. None of that is required. It assigns you some really fun extra names or like fun random names. Like, what did we have here? Brave Raman. For example, Vigilant Nightingale, stuff like that. So it's a cool, fun name. So as I said, you can change that if you don't like it.
Oh, here's a
And
great name, Tomf.
Humph. Yeah, I don't know. Tomph. I don't know what that is.
Yeah, I think I like Vigilant Nightingale better.
Yes. Humph. Yeah, so if we record every Thursday, 7 p.m. UK time for this very show, the big show. Usually, we would talk about non-Apple tech related start news stories, but not for the summer fun. We're doing other fun topics. And Fridays, 4 p.m. UK time, we have the Mac show. Same place, just head over to live.britishtechnetwork.com. And there, we usually talk about Apple related news, but also not right now because we're doing until Apple does something worth talking about, and that next thing will probably be the next Apple event in September. Until then, we're just doing some rough fun. And yeah, that's how easy it is to go to the chat. And if you want to get to the links and like see what we've talked about in the chat, and you're listening to this in the podcast player of your choice or on the website, for example, hosted by TSO Host, hint, hint. You can still get to the transcript, and all you have to do for that is you head over to britishtechnetwork.com/chat. Then there's a very friendly calendar, very long calendar, because we started doing this in June 2nd, 2015, and we've been doing it ever since. So any date you pick in that calendar between this date and today that has a transcript, there's a link. You will see literally what was talked about in the chat today or that day. So if you pick today's date, August 8th, 2024, then you would get, yeah, what we talked about today, like the links to the movies and shows and stuff and other things. So there's that.
Awesome. Thank you for doing that, Patrice. And Tom, you've already dropped another movie in here. So let's each do another movie and then
One
we'll
more.
wrap it up for the day.
Okay. So
Good
I
one.
have a huge list that I came up with,
Very
and it's
good.
hard to pick. But I picked Pulp Fiction, which is probably the most
Very good
famous
one.
movie from Quentin Tarantino. John Travolta and Sam
Yeah, Quentin
Jackson and
Tarantino.
Bruce
Yeah,
Willis,
those three
Uma
basically, or
Thurman.
four. Like those are like the most famous. Like if you asked anybody, most famous movie of Samuel L. Jackson or Quentin Tarantino,
Yeah.
John Travolta, this is it.
And when it first came out, I had seen Reservoir Dogs, which was just a crazy movie. Nothing like I'd ever seen. It's kind of violent if you've never seen it.
Well, I mean,
You
it
don't
is a
like blood.
Tarantino movie, so of course it's not like anything you've ever seen.
Right. But
Oh,
it
there
was
is some
cool, you
say.
know? And the first time I saw this, at the end of it, I was like, that was great, but I don't really know what the hell was going on. It was just crazy. And you really had to think about it with all the time shifts and kind of the crazy stories behind it. But I love Tarantino's dialogue. I think he writes the best dialogue ever. And the acting is great. The cinematography is great. And I love the cast. And I listened to a story podcast with Quentin Tarantino. He was talking about, the whole thing about Vincent having come back from Amsterdam. Well, Tarantino wrote this movie in Amsterdam, apparently. And I never
Oh,
had that
okay.
got that connection before. And he talked about the casting and, the original choice for the character Jules was not Sam Jackson. It was I think it was Lawrence Fishburne first. And
I can
think
picture
so.
this.
And there was, this weird thing about Lawrence Fishburne wanted to be the main star of his next movie, and he wouldn't be in this movie, so he turned it down. And the alternative for John Travolta was Madsen, the guy that was in Reservoir Dogs. I forget his first name. He was the alternate choice, and it would have been a very different movie with those people. It'd probably have been okay, but Travolta and Sam Jackson were just perfect, perfect. And Uma Thurman was great, and of course she did all the Kill Bills and everything else. And it's one of those movies from a rewatchable point of view. You can watch just one scene, so you don't have to actually have to watch the whole, 2 hours of the movie. Even just one scene is fun to rewatch.
It's like a series of vignettes,
Right.
but done in a way where when you're watching the whole movie, it doesn't feel like you're watching just a series of vignettes.
Right. The way he connects each of the scenes is really quite innovative and creative. I mean that's what took watching it 3 or 4 times to kind of figure out all the connections. Every time I watch, even now, every time I watch it, I see something I missed before.
But that's a hallmark of a good movie, that you can watch it 1, 10, 100, a million times and you still find new aspects and new views. And as you change and as your experience changes and your viewpoint sometimes also changes, you also
That's
discover
true.
new aspects of it.
That's true. And I love the way Tarantino captures real life and kind of makes it a caricature, but it's based on real life, like the character of the heroin dealer Lance, Eric Stoltz, and he's in like a robe eating cereal, watching our cartoons from the 60s. It's just perfect.
Awesome. Okay, so I'm feeling like the level, the bar we're setting this time, the pressure's really going to be on me. So
We're climbing
yes,
that
it
mountain. You got to help
is.
us get to
It
that top of
is.
that mountain, Jeff.
I mean, you started it, so
Yeah, it was your fault.
it's my fault. Yeah. All right, Patrice, what do you
Yes.
have? And then I'll wrap us up.
Okay. So so this one is very different. I honestly doubt any of you have ever heard of it. So it
I've
is a
heard of it, but
movie.
I have not watched it.
Okay, you should. So this is one of those really rare German movies that I like. And really rare, I mean, this is literally the only one I like. There's no
Really?
other German movie I've ever liked. This one I love. Its original title is actually Bella Martha. Because it's actually a German, like German public television, Italian public television co-production. So they produced it together. And it's the story of a chef in like single, works hard all day, chef in Hamburg, I think, in Germany. And her sister has an accident, and her husband, I think, die, and the daughter, 8-year-old, survives and has to live basically with Martha. And she's kind of like she does basically she's a workaholic. She doesn't do anything else. She's all chef. Like at home, like she if she's co she's rarely ever cooking at home, but if she is, like it has to be perfect and whatever. She's like a fully stocked kitchen that she never uses at home because like she's like perfect. She's a perfectionist. She's a workaholic. She's all of that. And like kids are not like that, right? They're messy sometimes. They don't like the things that you think are perfect, like the perfect piece of fish. Like it can be as perfect as you think it is. The kid doesn't like it, doesn't like it. So like the kid, I mean, for sure, traumatized and all that. And like how she, it's a story, it's a love story at the end, because like she has a temper in the kitchen, and she also has to take care of the kid. So her, like the restaurant owner, hires basically a sous chef from Italy. Doesn't speak, well, in the movie he speaks German, but actually in reality the actor didn't speak German at all. There's a dubbed version in English, I should mention. This actually, the German version is also dubbed, because they tried to do it in English and just it wasn't working. So she did her scenes in German, he did them in Italian, and then they dubbed them basically at the end. And it works really well. Like the chemistry between worked really well. I don't know, the actor, Sergio Castellitto, is actually quite well known, at least in Italy, and I think also in Germany. Yeah, and it's a really nice love story, and I love to, like, I'm just crying at the end. It's a typical love story. Like she's kind of pushing him away, and he's kind of winning her over step by step, and he's also winning the kid over, which is quite interesting. The kid's dad is actually Italian, which is kind of a little twist in there, that like that's why the kid actually connects with him more, because like she knows her dad that she's kind of never met, because he's kind of away. And she just, all she knows is that he's Italian, basically. That's all her mom ever told her. So they're trying to find him and all of that. And it's, as I said, he is kind of breaking her like shell and breaking her out and showing her that like there's also something else other than work and all of that. Really good movie. There is actually a really bad, I would say, American version with Catherine Zeta-Jones. Called, what was it called? I have it here. No Reservations from 2007. So this is 2001. No Reservations is 2007. It was really bad.
Was
But it's
it
the same story, literally
that's
the
why
same
I
story.
know about this movie? And I did not
Yes.
see the Catherine Zeta-Jones movie,
Mm-hmm.
and I heard it was horrible. And
Yes.
that if you're going to watch the movie, you need to watch the
I
original,
probably
mostly
told you that.
Martha. You
Yes.
probably did.
I
And
probably told you that. Yeah. It is not available on any streaming service that I actually know. That's not true. I saw it is available on a streaming service called Canopy or Hoopla that I've never heard of. But you can also buy it on Apple TV Plus and so on. As I said, as far as I know, there's an English dubbed version these days, but there's definitely a subtitled version if you don't want to, if you're
I
okay
love
with
that
that.
canopy. Canopy is good.
Yeah, give it a try. Like as I said, for me, I mean, maybe I'm right. This is the only movie I watch in German, and I just like it.
I
Like it's
think my
just,
wife would like this one, the food
yeah,
aspect and the
the food
relationship.
aspect, the kitchen. I mean, they trained in the
Right.
real kitchen. Like they had to basically, while they were doing their scenes, they had to like pretend they're real kitchen staff. So they had to do the chopping or whatever professionally while they're doing their dialogue and their scene. So they really trained for that. They did it professionally. There's one scene that I remember. That's one of my uncle's favorite scene. We talked about this movie all the time, where she, and that's a joke, like a running like joke in my family, where like she got fed up with one of the guests, like from the beginning of the movie, and she like the, he was complaining that the duck liver is not raw enough, and she basically take, or no, or is it just, no, it was the steak actually that's not raw enough. And then she takes like a raw piece of steak and a knife and basically jams it into like on in the middle of the table and says, like, asks him if this is now raw enough. She's really angry, which is not really what you should do with customers. And she gets like, she has to go on, like, I think her boss forces her to take like therapy, to go to therapy for that and stuff like that. She does have an anger problem for sure. But in our family, there's a running gag, like with meat, like is it raw enough, basically.
Is that raw enough for you?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. She like, it's really, it has fun aspects. It's a romantic, it's not a rom-com, it's not a comedy in itself. There's some fun stories, scenes here and there, but it's just a good story. Yeah, and I cry always at the end because it's really, really nice ending.
Awesome. All right. So I will wrap us up with I'm going to the opposite end of the spectrum here, and I'm
Okay.
going with what I consider to be one of the last true horror movies, because after this, so many movies that were called horror were what I feel is gorer, meaning it was all about shocking you with like people getting their bodies ripped up and stuff where it's not really horror. So my pick is the original Alien from
Oh yeah.
1979.
Oh, so
Good
good.
pick.
Yes.
And oh my God,
You
wonderful
like
movie.
horror movies, right? It sounds like
I like quality horror movies, true horror movies. And
suspenseful, you know.
yeah, and I do not consider Aliens, the sequel to this, a horror movie. It is an action movie, and it's okay. So they did different genres for both of those movies, and it really
I
worked.
thought you would say it was compared to the first one so bad that it was scary, but for different reasons.
No, they're very different movies, and I think those first two are really good. But Alien, the original, and I prefer the theatrical cut to the director's cut, because even though in the director's cut you get to see more of the trauma that Ripley has to deal with before the movie ends, in the theatrical cut there's a little bit more that's left to your imagination because you're not seeing these other scenes. Like in the director's cut, you see the kind of nest area that the alien has made, where it took some of the other crew members, and they're kind of strung up in this nest. And in the actual theatrical version, you don't see any of that. And so there's more mystery around the alien threat. But man, what a wonderful movie, done so well. And it is a movie that with the suspense and the mystery surrounding what this threat really is, it is a scary movie. And
It is. It's a great movie.
it has a fantastic cast, and it also has an important moral, which is listen to the lady because she knows what she's talking about. I mean, in the end, you only Ripley, Sigourney Weaver's character, survives. Well, her and the cat, and yeah, it's a great presentation of a strong female character without making it feel gratuitous or patronizing. It's just, here's this person, and they have to go through a lot of horrible stuff just to survive. And I
And nobody listens to the lady. The
and they all
typical thing. Nobody
die.
is listening to the
And
women,
they
and
all
everybody else
die.
dies.
And everybody else dies.
Guess who survives?
I guess
No,
go cat ladies, right?
yeah,
I
exactly.
think the
Go cat lady.
reason Ripley works so well as a non-gratuitous or patronizing strong female characters because the character's actually written as a guy. And Sigourney
Was it?
Weaver's like, why not me? And so they were like, okay. And they changed nothing in the script. It was just now this woman playing the
This,
character.
which is how it kind of should be.
And yeah, and it just works so well.
I mean, I've watched it once or twice. I cannot watch it because I'm too, it's too scary for me.
It
It
is a
really is
very
too scary.
scary
It is
movie. It
really, I
is scary,
love
yeah.
sci-fi. Like, given how low budget it actually was back then, The second and follow-on movies had way more budget, and you could tell because they kind of lost the scary part that they kind of had to do because they didn't have the budget for anything else. Like, I mean, the very close shots on the alien and the xenomorph, and like you barely even see it because yeah, they didn't have the budget for that. They had to kind of hint at things and shadows and whatnot and dark places because like otherwise you could tell how bad it was in some places, but that's what makes it work.
That's
So
exactly
it's
what
too
makes it work.
scary for me. It's way too scary for me. But I kind of for that I don't like scary. I've seen all of the Alien. I've actually rewatched one or two of them because I kind of could do that with like stopping the movie and then starting like later and so on, like going away from it a little bit because I was too scared. I really like them. It's sci-fi, so it's kind of my thing. It's like Event Horizon. It's really bad, but it's kind of
It's
fun. I
also
haven't made it
amazing to
through Event
re
Horizon.
it's amazing to realize it's 45 years old.
Yeah. And it
Yes.
still holds up.
It definitely
It
holds
doesn't
up,
even
yeah.
feel 45 here. This
No.
Tom, this doesn't compute. This is wrong. It's older than me. That's not possible.
I know, it's crazy.
Yeah. All right. So hopefully I kept the bar high
Very high.
for the last
I
very
think you got
high.
us to the mountaintop, Jeff. Good job. All
Very
right.
high.
Well,
We're
then,
scared now, but
yeah. Well, I
too
like what I
scared to have
like.
another round, I guess.
And I still have tons of other movies.
Yeah,
And
that's true. We could do this. I will put it on a list for next time, for next year or whatever, part two.
sounds good.
You mean for
Sounds
all of
good.
next year? Because it'll take all of next year to go through the movies.
Probably we could do this for a long time.
Yeah. All right. So, with that, it is now time to wrap up. Patrice, Tom, thank you so much for making this just a wonderful day. And of all the movies that we picked, the only one that I haven't actually seen yet is Mostly Martha. And in retrospect, how is it that I haven't seen this movie
Yeah,
yet?
I've
Do
definitely
we
got
have
that
to
on my
create a
list. Yeah.
podcast for
Jeff watches
that,
Mostly Martha.
and to tie it back to Blade Runner, we'll be able to prove if I'm a replicant or not, because that will be my Voight-Kampff test.
Okay.
Patrice, where can people find you?
Well, except for when I'm traveling, I'm here every week for the Big Show and the Mac Show on this very network. So also tomorrow, all I'm doing, like all the social media links, the websites, the projects, the podcast, literally everything you can find on my website, thepatrice.com. And as we've mentioned already like a million times, Jeff and I have a podcast called Retro Rewatch, where we rewatch fun TV shows in this case that Jeff has not seen, and I have rewatched a million times. So that's where this idea actually came from, kind of for today. I was like, hey, we should do this with movies. And we're rewatching Stargate SG-1. The new episode should be out by tomorrow. Just have to do the editing tonight that we can post it. And yeah, it's gonna be a fun ride. We've been recording and it's a lot of fun.
It is a lot of fun. All right, Tom, how about you? Where can people find you?
People can find me on Mastodon. I am Tom F. Tomf. Tom F at sfba.social. Thanks, Jeff. I have a new nickname now. Sounds too
I'll
close to
tell
the other guy's
Teresa.
name.
I'll take.
No,
I'll
don't tell.
tell Teresa.
No, don't tell her, Patrice.
Don't. Yeah, that's what we're going to put on your business card.
Yeah, don't.
Tomf. All right. Okay, so for me, Jay Gamut on social media, and I'm active right now on Mastodon and Instagram. Then for shows, Tuesdays on Chuck Joyner's Mac Voices Live, Thursdays on Dave Ginsberg's In Touch with iOS. Then here on the British Tech Network, Thursdays for the Big Show, Fridays for the Mac Show. Then Brian Chaffin and I, we do the Context Machine. And as Patrice has mentioned, Patrice and I do retro rewatch. So did I hit all this stuff? I think so. I hit enough at least. It's, I don't know.
Hard to tell.
Any
Maybe you added another podcast that you've
I mean, it's
forgotten
totally possible.
about.
Yes. All right. So with that, thank you again to both of you. This has been so much fun, and I'm glad that instead of taking the break in the summer like we used to do, we are now doing Summer of Fun. I really
Yes.
look forward to this every single week.
Me too.
Hey, all of you that are watching, listening live, participating in the live chat, thank you for being here. I'm so glad you're part of the show. Everyone that watches or listens to the shows later, thank you for being part of the BTN family as well. And hey, Ewan, thank you for being you. Muller, thank you for making sure we have people for shows. And TSO hosts, thank you for being here and supporting us. Please go give them some online love. And don't forget to use the discount code BTN20 when you get whatever you need to get from TSO Host. All right. So with that, we're wrapping up. So I will remind you, tune in tomorrow for the Mac Show, where we will do another Summer of Fun. And then have a great weekend and join us again next Thursday for the big show again. And everyone, have a great weekend.